Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks, and we have a great show today with a wonderful guest who's an expert on today's topic. So you're in the multifamily industry. What are the current challenges that a multifamily property faces and that an individual in the industry must be prepared to tackle? With this in mind, our topic today is current challenges and obstacles in multifamily. And joining me in the studio is a good friend and a longtime veteran of the multifamily industry, Neil Higgins, who's Vice President of Acquisitions with KC Venture Group. Welcome, Neil.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So for the benefit of our listeners, we always try and bring in guests who have a perspective, have certain experience and talents and in different parts of the multifamily industry that they can kind of share their experience and knowledge with our listeners. You happen to have a lot of experience in different areas of the multifamily industry. Tell our listeners a little bit about where your experience has been.
Sure. I am a little bit of a hybrid, I guess, in a way, because generally there are people that have been kind of management operations oriented all of their lives and kind of moved up the ranks of, you know, maybe being on property and then taking on more senior positions in more of a leadership role of regional managers and then maybe even vice presidents. And then I have an ownership kind of purchasing acquisitions background where for many years I was the VP doing acquisitions, multifamily primarily, although I did buy also some retail shopping centers and some office buildings, depending on what was really the better yield that we could achieve for a national firm that I'm not working with now. But then I also, in that role of ownership, also took on a role of asset management. So it's where you're really looking at, you know, trying to get the business plan and strategy to be exercised and working with a variety of management companies and looking at a portfolio that could be regionally in several different states. So I guess in that respect, people are surprised that I've been able to go from an acquisitions to an operations and vice versa, operations into acquisitions. So right now at KC Venture Group, I'm doing acquisitions and trying to purchase apartment communities here in Houston, as well as other major markets in Texas. And we're now also just entering, not that I haven't bought there in the past, but we're going back into trying to purchase in Phoenix, Arizona. Okay. So that's a new thing for me.
So when we were discussing the topic about the challenges and obstacles, without hesitation, you said that in multifamily, one of the biggest challenges is the people and the personnel. What have you found from the standpoint of being a challenge that is?
It's probably true of every company out there that is having to provide customer service or it is a people's business. And having good people working for you and doing their job and following through with, you know, leasing apartments and then, you know, making sure that the apartments are well cared for and their basic physical facilities are maintained. And the biggest challenge has probably been maintenance and keeping good maintenance. And we're all knowing that with the unemployment where it is and the job growth that has happened in the industry over, you know, here in Houston as well as around the country, is finding capable, energized, you know, smart individuals that will operate and do their job on site and be personable and follow through and team players. I mean, it's like anything that you, our challenge is to find those people and then the other challenge is to keep them.
Right.
And because it's become very competitive and wages have definitely gone up, which is great. I mean, for the people that are working there, but as an owner operator, it's a challenge to keep and motivate people in their jobs if they're doing the same thing day in and day out. And I could say property management, especially in multifamily, there's never a typical day because there's always, you know, something that crazy that happens. But it's having people that are thinking and really realizing that we are a people business in multifamily, and we are creating a home for somebody where it's very important to them of where they live and how they're treated, and having your staff be sensitive to that and be very caring in that respect.
You know, when you were talking about the maintenance personnel and finding them, training them, getting up to speed on the way you work within your organization is a task in and of itself, but then keeping them is
very hard because they get, you know, snatched away very easily.
Yeah, and it's not all. And one of the things that I've seen because of, I guess, the low unemployment rate that the country's enjoying right now, is they are not necessarily snatched away by another property. They may be snatched away by a different industry.
Absolutely.
And a well-trained maintenance tech has a lot of skill sets that would be attractive to other industries.
Right, definitely. And whether it's hospitality and they go into the hotel management, you know, maintenance, or it's maybe even, you know, big plant work at an oil and gas, facility. It could be, construction workers. I mean, just if they know how to drywall and they can, you know, fix plumbing, any of that, they are definitely very much in demand. Yeah. And we've had so many new apartments built here in Houston, over 20,000 new apartments. I mean, they all have to be staffed.
Sure.
And I can tell you, it's much easier on a maintenance man to be running something that was just built in 2016 than running something that was built in 1968.
Right, exactly.
So when you do have some of these older properties, if you get a good maintenance guy, the job is not easy, and you just got to appeal to his sense of pride in his work and that the company really cares about him. Mm-hmm. And I think it isn't always just dollars that will have somebody leave a position or stay. So it is creating an environment, a work environment, where they feel appreciated and cared for, and that the company has their best outlook for them.
It's how they're treated.
Right, very much so.
That would hold true for the rest of the staff, your leasing personnel.
Absolutely.
Your manager, assistant manager, and so forth, housekeepers. And I guess before we got a couple more minutes left in this segment, but before we break for that, what are some of the ways that you were able to find people for those different positions? I've had a lot of people on the show that have said that when they go out to dinner, you know, if they have a server who's giving extraordinary type service, they'll slip them a card and say, "Hey, you need to have an opportunity," and try and get them in to a leasing type of position.
Absolutely. So, I mean, that's a great, or somebody who's working at Starbucks and is very positive and personable, and you can see that, they enjoy having that one-on-one interaction with the customer. But I guess I was worse in that I would shop properties, mm-hmm. and I would, in my role as a regional vice president and trying to understand our own portfolio, I would definitely look outside of our own portfolio and what is our competition doing and how do we either do better. And then I would see other maintenance and leasing and, networking that way, that I would, approach them later. Or give them a card and say, "Hey, I work for XYZ company. It's right down the street, this property. And we would be more than happy to talk to you about making a move." And if they're already happy in their environment and they feel appreciated, I'm not going to do very well in getting them to move. But it is also having a company that you work for that has the mindset of, we really do need to have a lot of appreciation for the people that work for us, and whether it's in just providing good benefits and, making sure that, people feel that what they're doing is appreciated.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it is the appreciation and making them feel wanted. You know, that if they feel wanted by someone new who approaches them at a conference or something like that, well, that they want to go where they're wanted.
Right.
Yeah,
right. And you know, and again, when discipline or when, you know, again, it's all leadership of being able to say, you know, I'm not going to ask you to do things I wouldn't do myself, or that I had, that when you have a clear expectation of what the job entails. So it is trying to relate to, you know, their day-to-day job, but also to say, you know, I expect certain things of you, and I expect you to be accountable. And when it's not, it doesn't help the other staff to see somebody, you know, not doing their job. And it just makes it harder on the rest of the team to get their jobs done if one is not. So, you know, it's also trying to get into somebody's mindset that, you know, we're all working as a team, and that team effort means that you need to do your job. And when you're not, it has to be brought out to everybody's attention. And how you do that is important too, of just trying to appeal more to, we're in a service business and we all need to work together in that service. And by you not doing it, it's hurting the rest of us, and appeal to that team spirit.
Sure.
Than anything else. But okay. Anyway, so it's a challenge every day to keep all the cats herded.
All right. Well, we've talked about people in this segment. We're going to talk about some other challenges and obstacles in the next segment. We'll be back after this short break. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen & Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen & Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Well, we're back, and you're listening to Multifamily Matters. We are discussing the topic of current challenges and obstacles in multifamily. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me is a good friend and longtime veteran of the multifamily industry, Neil Higgins, who is Vice President of Acquisitions with KC Venture Group. Before we jump back into the conversation, I do want to let our listeners know that if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, or suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Neil, one of the hot topics, perpetually hot topics in multifamily is always going to be security.
Yes.
As far as challenges go. And that starts with how you screen potential residents during the leasing process, as well as how you operate the property throughout. And there's so much in technology these days when it comes to security, with cameras, with secure mailbox for packages and things like that. Tell me a little bit about what your experience has been and where you feel this falls as far as a challenge.
Well, it's definitely a challenge. Again, multifamily is a 24/7 kind of business, so it doesn't really sleep. It's not like an office building where it does get shut down at night and there's either a security guard and locks and whatever available to the, you know, building. Our industry in multifamily is that, you know, a lot more, you know, facilities have gates, and just having so that people are not trespassing on the property or breaking in. But we do, I mean, part of it is to what you said on the professional management side is that we do screen and want to make sure that we don't have ex-criminals living at the property. So I think it's difficult for somebody that is a criminal to find a place
sure.
to live nowadays.
Right, right.
But it's not, you know, you really want to know who this person is and if they do have, you know, criminal activity in their background. But it's also, it can be their guests that mm-hmm. can cause problems. So it's really having your eyes and ears open. And, you know, many properties not only have gates and cameras, but it's also deals with lighting and keeping it well lit so that there's not dark areas where somebody could be hiding to hurt some individual. It's also just making sure that the guests of people, or that if there is incidences, that they're followed up and you understand what exactly happened. And you inform the other residents that, you know, you do have to rely on your residents to tell you that there is either a lot of activity going over, a lot of people coming in and out of an apartment, and it could be, you know, a little drug investment, you know, activity going on. And so, you know, all of that, and children too, I think, watching, you know, or they're so unsupervised now because parents are both working. And, you know, that has also added to just, you know, bad things happening, or, you know, mischief happening, things either getting broken or cars being broken into, or people getting, you know, things stolen, is all a horrible thing to happen, or to be assaulted. And it can be from, you know, a teenage group. And you have to be very careful of that. I think it's also having a good relationship with the police in your neighborhood, and having some kind of patrol that does, you know, watch the property at night or during the day, depending on where you are and the location. But security, and just security of, you know, the peepholes, and just being able to follow who comes in and out of a property is always a challenge. And so keeping gates in working order, and they mm-hmm. tend to break all the time,
sure.
and it's a big expense. And it's one from an operations standpoint that when you're budgeting, you should always know that there's going to be an expense there, but that they are going to break and you're going to have to repair them, because they are a deterrent for sure. Mm-hmm. But we also have to make sure that the people that live on your property, your residents, are responsible themselves of saying, we all live here together, and mm-hmm. we all have to be respectful of each other. And if you see something wrong, or you're concerned about something, you need to let us know and follow up on it.
Well, that, you know, that's a good point. And what I have been told by several people that have been on the show, and or people I've come across in the industry, is that, you know, one of the issues, and this may be another challenge that multifamily has, is creating that sense of community, to create a sense of neighborliness amongst your residents. That so often people just come and go and never say hello, and that there are management firms or property owners that make an effort to be able to have events, to hold meetings, whatever it might be, to create that sense of community amongst their resident base, so that when they do have an incident, or when there is something, they don't. It's something that's noticed, and it's something that's discussed and brought to the attention of the people it needs to be brought the attention to. And people have commented to me that on properties where that's not the case, where there is no sense of community, that's where they end up having quite a few
more
problems.
Security yeah. issues and safety issues and destruction issues.
Yeah, exactly.
Where personal property is destroyed. You're absolutely right. It's a sense of community, but also that there is a responsibility as a member of the community mm-hmm. to abide by rules, but also let us know when others are not abiding by rules. This world now that we do have a better communication, I mean, everybody now, we can, you have your own portal and the residents can put their work orders and everything on online, but it's also where they don't come into the office as much now. Mm-hmm. We basically text a lot to all of our residents, or we, you know, don't get the one-on-one FaceTime. So these events that you want to promote, and they can be very clever, different parties or events or things, you know, a Cinco de Mayo party or whatever,
sure.
That makes them feel like, first of all, you know, we're together, we're face to face, we talk to each other, we can be friends. Friends from the standpoint of just neighborly, as you
sure.
were calling it, that it does help. And it also helps to get to know the children that are on site. And doing some events for them oriented is always a good thing, too. And just being able to create a sense of community is really...
And interestingly enough, you know, I've in talking to different... groups that own properties or manage properties, many of them try to do that, make that part of the responsibility of their manager on site to hold events and so forth. And I'm sure they have a little budget to be able to do that with. And I'm sure some of them are doing it very successfully. I was fortunate enough to learn about a company and have them on the show a few months back. A company called Apartment Life. And Apartment Life is a company that handles all that for the manager. And as a matter of fact, they will put a couple on site as residents that kind of behind the scenes act as an intermediary for management to be able to pick up on things like when a resident is thinking about moving because they're unhappy about something. They may not go to the management staff to discuss it, but they'll talk amongst their community members,
right.
and so that they're able to proactively bring management in to try and resolve the issue, so that they have that doesn't affect their resident retention. But more than that, they hold events, they do things, they welcome this group that the couple that they place on site welcomes the new residents and so forth.
I think
forth.
That's really important.
Yeah.
I think and it is hard on a manager. They have so many responsibilities on a daily basis, but if they can make that connection to the new residents and really mm-hmm. make a follow-up visit or to check in with them and really understand, you know, are we meeting your expectations? Are we servicing you in the way that you need? Is your apartment? I mean, again, one of the worst things that can happen is they move to their apartment and it's not really up to snuff and rent ready.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got a lot of things that are not working, and that doesn't put anybody in a good sense of moving into their apartment. And so I would say follow-up visits to anybody new, but have somebody on staff that's assigned to being more of the community cheerleader,
sure.
Is great. And that's a real expense. I mean, maybe it isn't as big of expense of what you can get from the benefit of it, because they can probably be given a free apartment. I guess this couple was, mm-hmm. and then a small stipend.
But sure.
We do all have budgets for community, you know, events and community parties and things to get the children involved, and that's really does create a better environment overall.
Yeah.
The first like 3 months of anybody living there can either make it or break it, and you just really do need to do that follow up would make a difference.
Yeah, I think it's important. And since I brought up Apartment Life, I'd be happy if any of our listeners would like to get in touch with them to if they'll contact
concept.
Me through our website at multifamilyradio.com. I'll be happy to put them in touch with the proper person there so they can find out what it would take to get a team at their property. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with our third segment of Multifamily Matters. You are listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen and Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Well, we're back and you're listening to Multifamily Matters. We are discussing the topic of current challenges and obstacles in multifamily. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me is my good friend and longtime veteran of the multifamily industry, Neil Higgins, Vice President of Acquisitions with Casey Venture Group. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rasa Floors, the professional flooring advisor specializing in make-ready replacement flooring for the multifamily industry throughout Texas and Oklahoma. WaterLogic, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management, and Ted W. Allen and Associates specializing in multifamily habitational insurance since 1967. Neil, we were talking during the break about one major challenge and potential obstacle in the industry is filling up the empty apartments, the leasing efforts that have to go on. What are you finding now that you're currently working in acquisitions and you do look at properties in the Houston market? What are you finding as far as challenges with leasing or filling up the product?
Well, it's not rocket science from the standpoint of, you know, we've had, 22,000 new apartments in a year come online. And luckily, 2019, we're seeing that dramatically lessen. But, you know, there's certain pockets. Definitely the inner loop area of Houston has many multifamily luxury apartments coming out of the ground, as well as in lease-up stage, as well as out in Katy and up in the Springwood area. I would say all of those markets have had a tremendous amount of new product that has come online. And the challenge is how to attract that high-end buyer to come and lease in your apartment community, and how to have them come, lease, and stay is always the challenge. And because the turnover is also very costly. From an acquisition point of view, I have really had a difficult time in being able to evaluate a property because of what is really the effective rent that they are getting on a property. And that would be one that there's a base rent or the market rent that everybody, publicizes out in the internet and as they walk through the door of what it was going to cost to rent an apartment. But when you really start to then add in concessions or gift cards or free cruises or whatever else in your marketing budget you're using to have somebody pick your apartment community over another, it becomes very challenging in figuring out what the real rent is. And one of the things that has happened, it's much better for me as a buyer to be able to purchase a property that gives a concession, and I know they're in a lease-up mode, But to give it all up front, like the if you get 2 months of free rent, you give it and it's not being able to be prorated over the term of the lease. And so many of my, in looking at properties to purchase, especially out in Katy, of trying to determine of whether what is the real rent and then being able to evaluate it from there. But, you know, the challenge too is for the renter to know he's kind of in the driver's seat in a lot of ways. And it may not always be that you get the best bargain that really makes a difference of somebody wanting to be at one different community than the other. So it is somewhat of a salesmanship. I think the challenge is for the leasing people is, you know, whether they call, a lot is done on the internet. And because we do have a large influx of people coming from outside of Houston, that a lot of communication is just all done through the internet and you're not getting that personal touch. But and that the more that you can get that personal touch, I think it makes it a much better probability that you'll be able to close on somebody that is coming into town or that needs an apartment. But the concessions are, you know, it's always easy to say, oh, yeah, I'll give you 3 months free rent. Or, I mean, some places in downtown are really giving that large of a concession. And you have to kind of weigh the balance as to, you know, are we giving too much away? Right. And then again, it's staying up to date with all of your competitors of what they're offering. But, you know, a lot of it, it shouldn't just be a dollar amount, but, it's, right. you know, it's a challenge.
Well, and when you mention the so much is done on the internet, I've had guests on the show in the past who date back to my era of being in the industry. And, you know, of course, internet was not an issue when it came to leasing because it didn't exist.
Right.
So, you know, you really had time, FaceTime with people, face-to-face meetings where they would come to the property and you'd have a chance to talk to them and you could hear what their objections were and try and counter those objections.
Exactly.
And I had a guest on the show who said that today with the internet, we have no way of quantifying how much we're losing because people never show up to the property. They see something online, whether it's a review or photographs or a website that they didn't particularly care for, it was or maybe was cumbersome, and they did not really score high in that potential resident's mind, so they never had a visit. So they, you know, that online,
they can never deal with that objection or that convincing of this is really where you want
right.
to live. So,
so
I hear you.
So the online presence, I think, is key, and I think that is also a challenge. Is
very much so.
What's the right thing to do? And you know, to
well,
get
I
that
think we're
presence.
In a world where I mean, everybody's on their phone, and you better have a mobile app, and it better be able. I mean, everybody, your websites and your web pages are all very important. I mean, just even the script and how they'll search for an apartment will be keyed to keywords. And you have to be very conscious of that. I mean, so much traffic is driven by Google write-ups or just they now can, you know, somebody says Houston apartments, luxury, downtown, you know, all those search words are something that you can pay Google for and you'll be popped up to being on the first page of any kind of Google search. So that is a super challenge of, you know, management from the standpoint of trying to get face-to-face time or to drive traffic to your site because the internet, we don't get as much one-on-one. But I do know that it is critical that anybody on property, people will want to chat or they'll ask a question or they'll say, what about this? And if you don't get back quickly to them, you've lost them completely.
Right.
I mean, your response time is incredible in having to. And there are systems that like doorbell or whatever that kind of ping your staff members to know, well, I need, there's a message here that I need to respond to. And or one that you want to remind yourself that they asked a question yesterday, you answered it, but you should ping them back to say, is there anything else I can help you with? Or, you know, what other, you know, I'd like to have set up an appointment for you to come in. So, you know, follow up is also key.
Yeah.
But the other challenge is in my mind, is that too much of it is done through the internet, but
right.
I think we have to live with it.
That's right. Well, and then the other thing is that it's not just what they find that you put on
right.
there.
It's also the ratings.
The ratings and
yeah.
the reviews.
Oh, the Yelps and the bad, you know, views. And I think this generation of millennials are very much into reading reviews
sure.
and not making a decision of whether they want to pursue something. And the challenge to management is then some of the reviews are somewhat unfair, or that we only get the negatives. We don't get all the ones saying, "Oh, it was a great experience. I love
right.
I love my apartment. My, you know, the staff is wonderful." You know, those reviews are good and bad. I mean,
right.
they're but responding to them, or you know, if somebody has reached out on your property and posted something that's negative, management definitely needs to respond to
it. Yeah. And I've had people on the show where we've talked about reviews, and they say that some of them do it. They make it part of the manager's responsibility and role to respond to those. But they also, as a kind of a backup, they're notified. You know, the upper management person
right.
is notified and can read the review and read the response, so they know it's getting taken care of. I think at a very minimum, that would be an important thing to have happen. Then there's other folks that will hire a company to manage all that for them, but
right.
yet they maintain final approval of a response before it goes out online. So, you know, you can get help
right.
outside of doing it all yourself if you don't have that expertise and you don't have that technical skill, which I certainly don't have, being from my generation. But I think that is a key challenge right now.
It is a very big challenge. Is response to that and quick responses. Mm-hmm. I mean, it can't be. And then to do a follow-up.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that is all. And upper management is definitely having to be much more aware that they want to verify that it is being, people are being responded to. I mean, I, as a regional vice president, got lots of phone calls and complaints because the manager on site was not, I guess, solving their problem. But again, people can have problems, and it's really their problem and not management's problem.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
But you know, it's a fine line, and we all want to be responsive in customer service, and you know, it makes people happier of where they're, you know, where they're living.
Sure. Well, we're going to take a break. We're going to be back with our fourth and final segment of Multifamily Matters. You are listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen and Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Well, Well, we're back with our final segment of Multifamily Matters, and we are discussing the topic, Current Challenges and Obstacles in Multifamily. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me is my good friend and longtime veteran of the multifamily industry, Neil Higgins, Vice President of Acquisitions with the Casey Venture Group. I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to make comments, give a guest or topic suggestions, or listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website and email us at multifamilyradio.com. Neil, you know, we've talked about a lot of different things in the first three segments, but one thing that I want to kind of hone in on in our final segment, as far as challenges and obstacles, is from an ownership standpoint, what an owner sees as challenges and obstacles. And when we were talking about that during the break, you had mentioned always the physical plant, the physical asset itself is a challenge because left to doing nothing, it would deteriorate over a period of time. So there's always got to be an effort and an eye towards protecting and maintaining that asset, and that in itself is a challenge. Tell us a little bit about what you've seen over the years in as far as making sure that you're protecting that investment.
Well, it starts probably even with your budgeting process of realizing that there's going to be wear and tear on your physical plant, whether it's carpets and paint and, you know, flooring. And it's also making the decision of what level improvement do you want to make at any one point. And I know even in the carpet world, there's a variety of levels of how much you spend on carpet and how long it will last, mm-hmm. and how long or how well it will clean or be repaired. I think the challenge now has been that we've really gotten much further away from putting in carpeting and much more into the plank flooring or the faux flooring and the vinyl, which people now prefer. And they're using, that's probably been in the last 5 years, a major
shift
of having all the common area. Usually you had wet areas, meaning kitchens and baths that either had tile or some kind of vinyl flooring in it. And now that has been expanded into the whole apartment, as well as maybe just into the common area. Not the bedrooms would stay carpeted, but all the halls and living space would be in a more of a different vinyl flooring or plank flooring. And that helps in a way from the standpoint of turnover and keeping it maintained and not staining or, you know, just keeping it in good shape has been a better thing for mm-hmm. us. It's more expensive to turn over. Of when you're replacing the carpet, it tends to be a little bit more expensive. But the technology and the quality of the product of the flooring, the faux flooring, has really gotten much better and helps us in just the longevity. But you do have to always weigh the odds of what level of finishes you want to put in.
Sure.
And I find on an acquisition side, we definitely like to buy what we call value added type of transactions, which is you'll take something that was built in 1990 and it has, you know, kind of old cabinetry and, you know, white appliances and things are kind of very dated, and making the decision that we're going to, you know, do an added value of the interiors of these apartments. And, you know, you can spend $5,000 an apartment, or you could spend up to $10,000 mm-hmm. for an apartment. And you have to kind of find my challenge is to find the neighborhood or the property that you have to make that judgment call of how much do I want to put into this apartment. From the standpoint, do I put in quartz? Do I put in granite? Do I get a faux kind of marble, cabinetry? You know, what is the look and how much do you really want to spend? And what will you get in return for it? Because not everybody wants to pay another $200 just to get the sinks and the faucets and the lighting and, you know, the fancy thermostat and everything else put into their apartment
right.
because they can't afford it. But So the value add is a challenge for me of just the level of improvement you want to do and the different products that are out there that people will pay for or that they don't really care. And a lot of that is just demographics and location that will require you to put more money into it versus another area not to. But then you have to figure, or the challenge is, what will I get in return for redoing all these floors? So the physical is always a challenge for an owner because you do always have to maintain it and you have to start with your budget knowing that you're going to have to do that. I mean, I think another challenge has been the whole changing over of, you know, older air conditioning systems that they no longer have parts for, mm-hmm. and having to retrofit older properties with these new, more efficient ACs, that has been an expense that a lot of people don't always notice.
Sure.
And you know, the thing from an owner's standpoint is you want to put things or, you know, up, make improvements to a property for things that people will want to, you know, pay more money for. But an AC, and it's expensive to change them out. You don't get a, you know, it's a kind of a basic requirement that every property, you know, here generally in Houston with our hot summers,
right.
has to have air conditioning. So it's been a new challenge for ownership to realize that that's a much bigger expense item than it ever has been in the past. Mm-hmm. And although maybe from an electricity standpoint and a usage, you know, it's much more efficient. So, and residents seem to be happier with a new AC, but, you know, it is the challenge for ownership to maintain roofs. And then we also here in Houston have the challenge of just, you know, we've had some serious storms and hurricane, and the whole Harvey was a major catastrophe for many owners here in Houston, and the repercussion of that is also our insurance has all gone up.
Sure.
Our insurance is incredibly more expensive than it was 2 years ago because of having, you know, had the damage that happened to, and it's something that on an acquisition side, I'm very aware of,
right.
in looking at a property here in Houston versus one maybe say in Austin or in Phoenix, where the insurance is much different.
Yeah. And, you know, when we're talking about, I guess I should have specified this, but we're really talking about the challenges and obstacles faced on conventional properties.
Yes.
There's a whole different set of challenges when you get into affordable or when you get into student housing that that we don't see in conventional. For instance, just student housing, to give you an example, one of their biggest challenges is trying to get the property ready
in a
very short period of time. And I've visited a property once where they were, I was talking to the head of their maintenance, and he was, I forgot how many units or how many beds the property was, but they, he said they had like 22 days to go through every unit and fix up every unit and do what needed to be done. And he said he had a team of contractors that,
yes.
that would come in and that they would, each one of them had their own responsibility of what they were supposed to do. And he said it was kind of like a well-choreographed ballet of getting all these people in and out of these units. And they would work, you know, maybe 24 hours a day trying to meet the deadline of having everything ready. So there's a whole different set of challenges depending on what market segment you're in.
Your focus is on the multifamily for sure. I mean, when I worked with the Lind Company, we owned several apartment communities down in Tallahassee, Florida, and it is an incredible, and there's companies that specialize in it, and
sure.
that's really what it's come down to. They have to be professionally oriented to just doing student housing, and you're much more efficient and effective mm-hmm. doing that. But the challenge is trying to turn over, you know, hundreds of apartments or, you know, dorm rooms to be able to service that inflow of new freshmen or
right new students
are
coming in
arriving,
for the new school year, it's a different animal
where
you lose in conventional you'll lose residents throughout the year on a monthly basis, and you have a chance to turn their apartments and
exactly.
get them ready. In students, you basically everybody's on a schedule when they come and go, so it's a and they all do it at the same time. So real quick before we get into our closing segment, just in the next 30 seconds, what's your top trick or tip that you would like to give to our listeners as far as what we've discussed today? If they were going to say, okay, I've got a challenge, what would you suggest, maybe specifically in when they're looking at a new acquisition?
A tip. let me think. A great tip. I think a lot of it is really, and again, this is a challenge for anybody in acquisitions, is you really have to see the property.
Right.
And I guess years of experience makes you look at different physical aspects to it, as well as to the clientele that is there and what your mission or what your business plan is for in purchasing it. I mean, you can buy something that is brand new and is coming out of lease up, and you're hoping, and you have to make those judgment calls of how quickly it'll lease up and how much you want to give away in a concession mm-hmm. to get it leased up. So the challenge for me is always understanding what is the business plan and what is the concept of how you want to improve it or maintain it to make more money on it.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So in our last 20 seconds or so, tell everybody how they could reach you if they wanted to find out about some of the things you discussed today.
Sure. I can be reached. I am based here in Houston. I have a phone number of 210-454-8028. And I have an email of nhiggins@kcventuregroup.com. I would love to hear from anybody that had a question or has a property they want to sell or have want to make a change in their career of doing something in the multifamily business. I can give you lots of leads of different things of what is exciting about being involved in property management.
Sure.
And why it is a wonderful profession to pursue.
All right, great. Well, thanks for joining us today. I want to let our listeners know that we will back every Friday at 10 a.m. right here on 1110 KTEK. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.